Darlene's hands up.
Sorry, point of information, apologies. I guess I'm still timekeeper. How much time are we giving this? And I started it after motivation.
20 minutes.
Susan, I'm back, but if you want to continue, you're more than welcome to.
Hey, no, Lawrence. A tip of the hat to a guy who's better at it.
All right. I don't know about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Darlene, I see your hand.
Darlene, you need to unmute.
This is the most insulting proposal I've ever heard directed at an executive director, unless the board was in the process of trying to fire her. Yes, things need to be done, and the first thing that was suggested, as if Stephanie could not think of it herself, is that a connection be made to CPB. Number one, we have no idea when the deadline is. If anybody says May 19th one more time, I don't know. May 19th, 2021. 21 is the only deadline that's listed on the page for this grant for $2022 dollars. It has been read wrong from the beginning. This is an operational issue and should be under the leadership of our executive director, Ms. Wells. And everything laid out, I don't have any argument with what is being said needs to be done. But number one, not letting the ED get underway with a connection to the CPB is overstepping. We are not the operational body of Pacifica. And the executive director and the general manager is who we should be supporting to be able to do their job, not trying to just tell them what to do. Because I noticed in all the things that need to be done, nobody on this group works on that. You're just telling other people what to do, and they know what to do.
Thank you, Darlene. Your time is up. Lawrence, I see your hand.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just wondering, who is the person with Santa Teresa de la Avila Catholic Church? Who would that be?
I mean, that's me. I'm just
Donna Grimes.
Donna. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Donna.
Yeah. That's okay. No problem.
Okay. I have a tendency to agree as somebody that was on the very first cab that got us a community service grant back in, I believe, Beth, if you could remind me, I don't know what year it was. It was a long time ago before that designation of a minority audience was right after KPFT lost its designation as a audience that did not address the demographics and geographics. KPFK was designated as a minority audience, and we got a community service grant of over $100,000. I think there's a lot to be said in regards to the way things are said. It's not what you say, it's how you say them sometimes, right? And sometimes that could rub somebody the wrong way. Knowing, being a kid from Brooklyn and being known as being blunt, New Yorkers are pretty blunt. They'll tell you what they think and how they feel. And sometimes it doesn't come out the right way. I don't know if that was the case, but I think it is completely undermining our ED to shout instructions in a motion at her, at the ED to, in regards to, the urgency, I feel that. Believe me, we are about to launch our KPFK. Thank you, Heather. I'm just going to take 10 seconds, Chair, if I may, to finish up. I just think that we need to be careful how we say things, and because the way we say things sometimes loses its meaning if we're arrogant about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Yes, if the chair would indulge me, I'd like to ask two questions. The first of the ED, Stephanie Wells, if she's here.
Sure.
I'd just like to have her tell me or tell us if she's looked at this motion and if she feels that it is undermining her ability to do what she wants or if it is giving her tools to do what is needed for the CPB, working on the CPB funding.
Stephanie?
Yes, I'm here. Well, we actually today received an email from the Senior Vice President of Journalism Radio and CSG Services for CPB, Kathy Merritt, and she said that nothing has changed regarding the Pacifica Foundation's ability to apply for the Community Service Grant Program because it is still necessary for the Pacifica Foundation to conform to the terms of the March 28, 2013 letter. Therefore, we are not eligible because we still have to meet some of those requirements. So I have, even prior to this email...
Stephanie, you keep breaking up. I'm sorry, Chair.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
So even prior to receiving that email, I have created a list of the qualifications that are necessary and what we need to do to conform not only just every single station, but then also the foundation itself as to what needs to be done.
Mic check. Everybody hear me? Okay.
With what needs to be...
Lost Stephanie, Chair.
No, actually, Lawrence, I can hear Stephanie.
I can hear her fine.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Yeah, we hear her.
Yeah, Lawrence, you have the problem, not us.
Okay, everyone. Let's go ahead and continue, Stephanie.
So what I've been working on with other, with also people that, with John, Amelia, and also some other people at KPFK is getting a clean and current list of everything that every station needs to do and Pacifica needs to do in order to be in compliance and then in order to remain in good standing, which then can be considered to be a potential grantee for funding. So there is nothing we can do at this point, until I've been digging through some of the old emails to try to find I found some of the reports, the original report that was sent out in September of 2012. And so I have reviewed through that. And then there was, you know, again, something else that was sent out in March 28th, 2013 that gave a list of what we needed to do. So as of today, we have not fulfilled those requirements. Will we be working, moving forward to fulfill those? Yes.
Got it. Great. Ali, did you have a second question?
Yes. So just to ask, Ms. Wells, so this motion isn't really needed. You're already working on this as best as you can. Is that what I'm getting from your comment?
We are working on it. Yes.
Okay. So my final question is, how close are we to having all our ducks in a row and requirements together in place when the time period opens again for, applications, how far away are we from that as far as what we need in place?
I still have to get a better grasp as to what the actual, I do not have a copy of the letter from March 28th, 2013, as this is the only thing that I was able to find was the original audit that was, I think, September 29th, 2012. My memory is just pulling that number out of my head, so I may be wrong on that date, but we're still a ways to go. I anticipate that we could get everything in compliance by this year, by the end of this year, and then maintain a good standing, maintain what we need to do above the standards that they are asking, and then we can reapproach this again in 2023. It's also required to sign up for trainings, virtual and in face-to-face. I don't think there's anything that a virtual and then also recorded trainings. And so I've signed up for a slug of those today and a lot of them that are recorded just so I can go through that process of what needs to be done for the Community Service Grant Program. So meeting a deadline to apply in May? No, it's not going to happen. Next May? Sure.
People hear me?
Yes, Lawrence.
Vanessa to the stack, chair.
I have Jim Dingman next.
I'll wait till these other people have their say.
Got it. Okay, then Susan Young.
Yeah, what I'd like to say is the CPB conversation is really important. I know I have lacked an understanding of what all is at issue. Thank you, Jim, for putting together kind of a to-do list. And I know that you have held a webinar, or I understand that you have, with the, technology task force. I'm sorry I didn't see those. I am delighted that Stephanie is moving forward already, has a good understanding, and has been able to give us a full briefing. I agree. Well, I'm grateful that Jim brought this up. I agree with Lawrence and Darlene that this is really management's job, and that Stephanie seems to be off and running about it. And what I look forward to are periodic reports from her about progress, and then for her to enlist us in how we can help where and when help is needed.
Yes.
Got it. And then next, Jim McFadden and then Vanessa. I'm sorry, James McFadden. I'm sorry.
I'll go by either. You can just call me McFadden. That's fine too. There's too many James and Jims around here. I wanted to just speak to the, a particular piece of this motion that I think is important, that depending on how things go, I want to make sure we retain, and that is the issue of getting all the cabs up and running again. I know at KPFA, a number of listener members have called in and been asking about getting cabs at KPFA going again. I'd really like to see that happen. I think cabs, you know, can only help in terms of giving listeners, empowering listeners, empowering stations in terms of fundraising and providing additional input to the local station boards. So depending on how things go, I want to make sure that either assurances that the executive director is going to push forward on the general managers to get the cabs going, even though they're not needed. Even if we don't need them this year for the CPB, they should be in place now, you know, in any case, because they can be a helpful, aspect, for stations. And so, that's the main thing I wanted to speak to.
Thank you. Vanessa?
So I think the value of the motion, and I'll speak first to the tone that is perceived by some people, that I don't believe, certainly there was no intent for the tone to be, you know, disrespectful or overly directive to Stephanie in any way. However, even as the union representative that I am, the PNB is in the position, in a supervisory managerial position over the ED, and does have the authority, hopefully, to do it with respect, but to direct the ED to engage in certain actions. And so Stephanie, I think, has answered extremely well that she's already on it. She started that process, but I don't see the motion as micromanaging in any way, but rather that both parties that have a fiduciary responsibility, that is this board, we do, and any board has a fiduciary responsibility, is working in concert with the ED on this extremely important matter. We are losing a whole lot of money by not having this in place. And so while it's good that Stephanie's working on it, I think it bears reinforcement by this entity to show that we recognize the importance of it and are asking the ED to move forward.
Thanks, Vanessa. Jim Dingman, did you want to say something again? And I'll put myself on the stack then.
Yeah.
Julie, did you hear me asking to be on the stack?
I'm sorry I didn't, but now I've got you. Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
All right. Well, obviously, just Darlene, it's not intended to be a trumping, if you will, of anybody's prerogatives. I'm not going to go into the sordid history of how we lost the money. I have a feeling that a lot of us know about this, because it's been going on for quite a long time. I don't think any of you had to deal with the Inspector General of the CPB, lecture me, several times about the issues that are raised in that audit letter of 2013. So I'm very aware of the problems that exist. The board has a strategic function to, frankly, sometimes an operational function if they see something's not going on properly. And it wasn't me who got the AFRs last year and didn't do anything about this for 6 or 7 months. It was the previous board. So the motion is one to let's get this underway, let's see what happens. We all know how difficult it is to implement this, and that's the motion. And I hear what Stephanie says. We'll certainly, all of us will help her. But at the same time, I know that this is an issue that has caused great consternation with the listener members. Remember, we're elected by listener members, and they had the burden of having to put out the extra money out of their pockets, which to make up for that $1.3 million that we lost each year. So I have to say that, you know, listener members, I'm also speaking in behalf of those who elected me.
Hi.
Who are our members. Thank you.
Jim Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. I want to say that I think the urgency in this motion is partly due to the fact that some of us were under the impression that this application had to be filed in a timely way in May of this year, which is information we took from what happened last year. And I think I hear the executive director saying that there's no way we could even be in a position to file this year. Maybe we'll be in a position to file at the end of this year, and then at some time, you know, by the application deadline in 2023, we would be able to make an application, and which would mean that we wouldn't receive any funds if we do a year of perfect compliance, which is, I think, required. We wouldn't receive any funds until 2024. And if that's correct, I would move to amend this motion to say applicable CPB programs, this is the therefore clause. Instead of saying this year, I would say as soon as possible. I'm going to move to amend that language to as soon as possible. And then I also just want to say that, of course, no offense to this current executive director. I'll just finish my thought, if I may. The reason for, I think, explicit instructions here is due to the fact that for many years, this has just gone unattended to. Doesn't mean that we think that the current executive director is ignoring it. We know she's not, but it's also laying out several ways that she can seek assistance, and it directs her to make sure these things are done. Doesn't mean that she can't get other people to help her do it. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. I did
move to amend that language from this year to as soon as possible.
Yes. Can I get a second?
This is Heather. I'll second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion or the amendment to the motion that changes this year in the therefore clause to as soon as possible?
Vanessa to the stack.
Hang on. I'm asking if there are objections to the motion to change this year to as soon as possible.
Madam Chair. I'm not sure that I'm objecting to it. I do not intend to vote in favor of this as whether amended or not. So I don't think that I bring up an objection here.
That would not be an objection here. I think you're right. Thank you.
share point of information?
Yes, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, I support the concept. I just wanted to try to find words other than as soon as possible. It just sounds so like whenever.
I hear that.
As soon as eligible.
That could work.
Thank you, Darlene.
I think actually as soon as eligible and as soon as possible would be sort of the same thing. But we could say as soon as we are possibly eligible.
As soon as eligible as possible under the eligibility guidelines, something like that. Okay.
At the earliest opportunity.
Hello.
We can hear you, Lawrence.
So, okay.
So now what we have to do is decide what is the actual amendment.
Point of information.
Yes. Go ahead, James.
This doesn't change the wording in item number 5. Is that correct? So that'll still be, they'll ask, the ED will ask the general managers about cabs in the next week. Because there's other time, there's other times in this motion besides just that one.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Thank you. Then this motion to amend does not address those other times. That doesn't mean we can't also have other motions to amend.
Great. Thanks.
Chair, okay. Vanessa to the stack, please.
Yes, go ahead, Vanessa.
So just asking James Sagerton, I think he said it's okay as soon as possible under the eligibility guidelines. Would that be acceptable?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. As soon as possible under the eligibility guidelines. Got it.
Thank you. Okay. So let's vote on that amendment or let me ask, are there any objections to that amendment to the main motion?
Well, I just want to make a comment about that, ma'am. May I?
Yes.
I object.
All right. First of all, the eligibility requirements are that we know that three of the stations right now aren't eligible at all. I mean, DBAI, KPFT, and KPFK are not eligible under the criterion to even apply for all sorts of reasons. And so that's a problem there. And obviously, the reason to sort of get the show on the road is that we haven't had a culture of compliance for the CPB for quite a long time. And so, yes, there is a certain urgency to it, and I do think it's going to take quite a while to have it permeate down to the grassroots in the stations as to how to have the compliance strategy implemented. And finally, we did indeed verify that at the second meeting that I held, the chair of the CPB showed up, unbeknownst to any of us. And so, and how that can affect things, I think he probably took from the tone of what we were doing. We were quite serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that should be thrown in the mix. That was totally unexpected to have that gentleman show up. We just verified that about a week ago.
Thank you. So what if we, instead of changing it to as soon as possible under eligibility guidelines, what if we instead had, instead of saying this year, just make the motion be that it's, wait a minute, I want to find it, applicable for admittance to applicable programs by next year.
No, you don't get admitted until your application has been submitted, and then I believe you do perfect compliance or as, you know, very nearly perfect compliance for a full year.
Okay, the full clause was, and successful application for admittance to applicable CPB programs.
Okay.
So that this year applies to the successful application part, I think, really. So successful application for admittance to applicable CPB programs.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Something that was said by the gentleman who we didn't know was the chair of the CPB.
Right.
Was that he referred in his discussion with us in the second meeting to the fact that the CPB can grant dispensation In other words, they can take you above all these hoops and let you in. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, all right? I'm not saying that we should take that to the bank. However, one never knows. And so I would just say that, you know, I think if we're moving in good faith, one never knows what could happen, and maybe we could circumvent these kind of obstacles, although I tend to doubt it. But, you know, why not? Nothing ventured, nothing gained, is how I look on it.
This is James. May I say one more thing?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say that my colleague, Jim Dingman, mentioned that there were three stations that were not eligible now, and I think he's talking about the audience levels, and I think including WBAI in that may be incorrect. WBAI is kind of borderline. We may be eligible now. We may not be. So it could be just two stations that are not eligible on the basis, at least, of the audience criteria.
Point of information, Jim. BAI is not now eligible according to the way they evaluate due to the Nielsen's. And so when you're eligible, it would mean you'd have to bring up the audience of the stations probably 2 to 3 times in order to be eligible. So that's where the weakness of that language is in that kind of thing. I mean, you know, one has to just modify the language.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Susan.
A confusion for me is eligibility for grants and eligibility for membership. And I understand that our lack of membership draws into question the umbrella for copyright. Are those two different paths? Are they the same path? How do we remedy that, and do these actions remedy that?
So I'll take a crack at answering that, and then somebody else can add if I don't get it quite right. There are one of the benefits of membership in the CPB and participation in the CSG program is that you're covered for
music licensing.
Yes, exactly. There are other ways, and so we are not now covered by the CPB, right? And so there are other ways to get access to that, and we are working on that. We are paying out of our pocket for, you know, at least a portion of that. There's another portion that we still have yet to, and I, you know, forget the music licensing versus the royalties versus the what it's called for ASCAP, but at any rate, I mean, I know enough to know those phrases, but I don't have them all right. And so some of them we're on board with, and some of them we're not quite in, you know, paying for yet. So, you know, that's something that we would reduce our expenses by being able to become members and have that be part of the coverage. And if someone wants to correct me on that, but I also see Donald Goldmacher's hand.
Madam Chair, what...
Jim, please be recognized. You've spoken.
I want to answer that question directly. Right now, we are vulnerable because we don't have the full coverage of ASCAP, BMI, the HESAC, the Harry Fox Agency. If we were admitted to the program, the two stations that would probably receive CSG grants are PFW and KPFA. However, the licensing dispensation would apply to all 5 stations. Okay, so that's where the advantage is of that. Anyway, thank you.
Donald, go ahead.
Thank you, Julie. So you can actually hear me. So let me begin by saying I totally support what Jim is trying to accomplish. He and I are definitely on the same page that pursuing CPB funding is absolutely one of the priorities for this foundation to attain some measure of financial stability, which I don't think we currently have. Having said that, I don't think this motion is necessary at all. In fact, I would offer a substitute motion saying that we support the new executive director's effort to pursue with all deliberate speed getting us back in the good graces of CPB, recognizing that that will probably take a year to accomplish. given that nobody here is discussing what CPB is upset about going back to 2013. And I believe that the officers of the foundation should provide that document to all of the PNB members here before we vote on anything having to do with CPB. Because if we don't understand the history and how we got in trouble, we're not going to be able to rectify that properly. And finally, to Jim's point about receiving special dispensation from the gods at CPB, why in hell, Jim, would they give a special dispensation? Given our track record, A, with them, and given our current financial status, and given the fact that three stations can't even support our national office.
Because they love you, Donald.
Okay.
But they love us. Okay.
Hey, crosstalk. Okay, so someone just showed up as call-in user one, and I think that might be Lawrence.
Yes, Chad, I just wanted to announce myself. Sorry, Susan, I couldn't keep time for you today. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with my computer. Thank you.
Okay, I'll get back on timekeeping, and I'll do it badly.
Hang on, Lawrence had his hand up first, though. Lawrence, was that all you wanted to say, or did you have?
No, I am concerned about the whole situation about our CPB status. But I have full, there's this thing called blind faith, and whether you believe in faith or not, but I'm going to go on the skill set of the ED and trust that she will do the right thing. She will surround herself with the right people to get the job done. Thank you.
Points of information, Madam Chair, I don't know where we are on the clock. Number one. And number two, I don't know whether Mr. Goldmacher actually made a motion.
I did offer to make a substitute motion.
He did. So for the substitute motion, if in fact Donald is making the substitute motion, we would then need a second, and we would also need to make sure that Marion had the substitute motion.
A request for information.
Go ahead, Jim.
This is for Stephanie, if she feels able to answer. When we were gradually being defrocked from the CPB programs, first we lost, I'm not sure of the whole history of it, but we lost the community service grants. And then they kept us afloat. We were still in the program. We weren't kicked out of the program for quite some time, during which time we were able to get that music licensing. And that's, as we see now, we're paying a lot of money each year for that. And it saved us a lot of money to be kept retained there in that program. Stephanie, do you know if, I know there are different levels of funding. So you can get community service grants. You can get minority audience, service station grants. There's different levels of funding that you can get. Can you get membership in the program and just get music licensing as a basic coverage before you qualify to go up the steps and get the other higher levels of funding? Do you know any answer to that, Stephanie?
The only thing that I don't know an answer directly to that. The only thing that I know is from what they sent to us that said, we can't do anything until we meet those requirements. And then we can be considered to be one of their funders, and then we can be considered for their different levels of funding.
And which were they the audience and the all the other requirements following our own bylaws, all that stuff?
It's whatever was listed in that letter from 2013 of the recommendations that they gave to us that we needed to comply. And as of this afternoon, we have not complied with those recommendations that they made in 2013.
Do you happen to have that letter with you so we could hear what they are?
I do not have that letter.
Okay.
I've been digging through some old emails to try to find it, and I couldn't find it.
And I will report that I do not have that letter either. I think Donald asked earlier, could we share it with everybody? And the answer is, I don't have a copy of that. Many people have the letter from May 2020, I think it was May 2020, that said that we needed, that referred back to that 2013 letter, which apparently has a list of all the things that we still need to do, that we were still not in compliance with as a result of the audit from, as Stephanie noted earlier, that was dated September 2012. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm point sure of order us, or sure. information or something. I have no idea where we are on a clock.
I hear you, Susan, and I also think we need to sort of get back to, we have to decide, we had an original motion. We had some motions to amend that were slight and we worked on them, that, you know, alternate language. And then Donald said a substitute motion, which was basically, Donald, could you repeat your substitute motion?
Yes, essentially the motion is to support the efforts underway by our new executive director to reinstate CPP funding for the foundation and to provide her with all the assistance that we can in accord with our own bylaws.
Second.
John, support the executive director with all speed to restore CPB eligibility. You're going to have to repeat it because
I'll write it in the chat, Mary.
Well, thank you, Donald. Thank you.
I'm not seeing it in the chat.
Yeah, well, you have to give him a second.
Oh, I'll be that way.
and while he's doing that, I see Jim Dingman's hand again, and then Teresa.
Yeah, I don't doubt Stephanie's goodwill about all this. We're going to help her out. You have to remember, I have to remind everybody, we're elected by people. We're elected by hundreds of people, dozens, whoever, how many people actually participate. And the listener members have heard about the loss of this money now for quite a long time. I had nothing to do with that personally. I think the board as an institution bears responsibility for that. Okay. We all know, a lot of us know a lot more about what happened than, we don't have time to talk about. We all know there's a lot of blame to go around. I think we have to make a point that this is something we're going to want to do, and to leave it up in some sort of, we're going to support the ED and it's going to be, a lot of time. And yeah, of course we want to make sure it's done right. But at the same time, we all know the problems of the money. And frankly, the reason why the money was lost was because the audience further collapsed at each of the stations for the past 10 years. That's why. It's as simple as that. And so until that's reversed, and that's a whole other argument and set of discussions to have, that's going to be an essential problem. So, I just think that there is there's an urgency to this. To make sure this gets done. It's not something hasta mañana. That's my problem with not putting this forward as an issue that has to be dealt with great sense of energy. Thank you.
Teresa Allen.
Who was the executive director in 2013?
Summer Reese.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm. That's it. Susan Young?
Yeah, okay. I think that what Jim has just brought up is absolutely critical, which is all of this audit, CAB meetings, blah, 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 is all important and necessary to do. The fact that we have apparently failed to respond adequately to the 2013 letter is just appalling to me and is step one. But Jim has pointed out the real hurdle is audience. And the real thing that we have got to do is have better programming that people want to listen to and that raises, that generates membership and support and revenues. That's the top priority. Refining CABs and blah, blah, blah is valuable, But if we don't have the listenership, we can't qualify and we go out of business.
Donald, did you have a chance to send Marion the substitute motion in?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Just came
through. Got it. All right. Okay, so I will read the substitute motion out loud for everybody. Whereas our executive director has already contacted CPB to ascertain how to
restore
CPB funding and has been informed by CPB that we must meet the requirements of the March 2013 letter from CPB. Therefore, be it resolved that the PMB supports the ED's efforts to obtain funding from CPB and that the PMB provide all necessary support to achieve this goal. Any further discussion on the substitute motion?
Request to be recognized?
James, go ahead.
I'd like to make an amendment to the substitute motion.
Go ahead.
Two amendments on the floor.
And that's...
Point of order, Chair?
Yeah, hang on, James. James McFadden. Jim Sagerton, sorry.
I think the substitute motion is the equivalent of an amendment, and there was already an amendment. So we have two amendments, and we have to deal with one, the substitute amendment first, and then we could open up to further amendments.
You can't amend the substitute motion. That's what you're saying.
It's just that there are two amendments already on the floor. If I'm correct, that the substitute motion is the equivalent of an amendment.
I think that's right. Mr. Tatum, can I get your sage advice here, please?
Yeah. It's not good news either, because on the substitute, you can have two amendments, the primary and the secondary. And when that's finished, you go back to the main motion, which can have a primary and a secondary. So you can have two amendments on the main motion. So that's the bad news.
Thank you.
I've heard worse bad news.
That's true. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. So
well, then I'm allowed to make the amendment.
No, I think you are allowed to make an amendment to the substitute motion. Yes.
That's what I said. And the amendment I wanted to make is to add item number 5 from the original motion, which is to direct the ED to direct the general managers to restart the caps.
I agree. Let me read number 5 out for everybody just so that, to refresh your memory. The ED shall direct all station general managers to assist their local station boards in standing up CPB qualifying community advisory boards and report back to the ED and the PMB in 1 week on the status of their station's cab or lack thereof, and submit a report to the ED and the PMB on said status and remedial plans where necessary.
Okay, that would be at the end of the substitute with the words, and that.
And that, exactly. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. So, okay. Let's try to wrap this up in the sense of actually coming to some kind of conclusion here on the motion. So now what's on the floor? Did somebody second James McFadden's amendment?
James, second.
Thank you, James Sagerton. Is there any further discussion on James McFadden's amendment? Are there any objections to James McFadden's amendment to the substitute motion?
Does that need to be put into the chat?
No. No, the chat is technically speaking not part of the proceedings of the meeting. The chat is just a convenient way for one member to share information with the recording secretary. because the item five, that point five is listed on the agenda, which everybody has. Are there any objections to the amendment to the substitute motion?
Madam Chair? My only concern is that we don't kick this down the road and not do anything.
Jim, can't hear you.
My only objection is that we don't kick this down the road as it has been for the past year and let it atrophy. That's all. But yeah, I just to move it on, fine. But I will return to this again if I don't see we're doing anything about it.
And so James will I, Jim. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. James, go ahead.
Yeah, I plan to vote for McFadden's, if you will, as he prefers to be called, amendment. But I plan to vote against the main because I think if that becomes the main motion and that passes, I would oppose that. So I'm going to vote for McFadden's amendment, but remind everyone that you can then vote against the resulting substitute and vote for the original motion, which is what I intend to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So we are at, are there any objections to the amendment to the substitute motion? Hearing none, the substitute motion is amended. Okay. Now we're at the point of voting on the substitute motion. And, if I don't say this correctly, Mr. Tatum, please, advise, but, a vote for yes for the substitute motion means to replace the original motion with the substitute motion. And a vote no means that you prefer the original motion, correct?
Yes, but we skipped one thing.
What's that?
We didn't vote to approve the amendment to the substitute and make it a part of the substitute in order to vote on the substitute.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, it just happened.
I just did that.
You just did that. Okay.
I just did that, yes.
So now...
Yes, sorry, the amendment, the substitute motion as amended.
Has passed, right.
Yes.
Okay. That's what we vote on.
So now the point is we're voting on the substitute motion and it's, does the substitute replace the original or do you stick with the original? But it's not passing the overall motion. It's just, do you prefer the substitute to the original? And yes means you prefer the substitute and a no vote means you don't. Oh, but let me ask, are there any objections to the substitute motion?
James, I object.
Got it. Okay. Marion, can you take the roll call?
I will do so. Teresa Allen. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Says yes to, let's see, Jim Dingman.
No.
I heard you say no? Okay.
That's correct. No.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Votes no. Donald Goldmacher.
I'll vote yes.
Yes. Heather Gray.
No.
Votes no. Avelia Jones.
Fuck, where are you?
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstains. Marianne Martinez.
Abstain.
Abstains as well. James McFadden.
Pass.
Passes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes no. Sean Rhodes.
No, excuse me.
Hey, he voted yes.
He voted yes.
I'm sorry.
Lawrence
Let
is
me get
yes.
This straight. Lawrence Reyes votes yes. Got it. Sorry about that. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Mark von Landau here at this point?
He voted in the chat.
He is.
He voted in the chat, right?
Yes, Mark wrote in the chat that he votes yes.
Votes yes. Okay, let's see. Beth,
that's not a legitimate vote. All votes have to be audible to be legal. That's not me speaking. That's California law.
Yeah, thank you, Beth. Hopefully Mark will return and be able to vote yes.
Okay, I'm going to put that one in parentheses for now. Beth von Gunten.
No.
Votes no. Egberto Willis. Egberto?
No.
Votes no. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Let's see. James McFadden, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
I'm going to vote yes.
Votes yes.
Madam Secretary Donna Grimes, you didn't call me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I haven't heard from you, so I wasn't sure you were there. Mm-hmm. Donna Grimes, how do you choose to vote?
Yes.
Votes yes. And, okay, Evili, I got you. Who else am I missing? I think
Mark could use his phone to call in to somebody on the board. I think that would be acceptable. I think.
So we're kind of in a holding pattern here.
I'm sorry, Madam Secretary. May I change my vote? It's Donna Grimes.
Donna Grimes, hang on, where were you? You voted yes, you choose to vote no?
Correct.
I have corrected that.
Thank you.
So Mark, it just wrote in the chat again. And so Mark, we need you to speak your vote. I don't know why you can't speak your vote, but it would be great if you could do that so we can count it.
Mark votes yes.
Okay, we will.
Forgive me for my absence. Auto absence.
Got it.
Okay. If we've got everybody, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 no's. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Abstain. Well, 9 yes and 7 no, the motion carries.
Okay, so that's the motion, or that vote replaced the main motion with the substitute motion. And so now we take a vote on the main motion as the, I mean, the, I'm sorry, the substitute motion as the now motion. And so first let me find out, are there any objections to the substitute motion as the main motion?
I thought that's what we just voted on.
No, I think we voted to replace the main motion with the substitute motion. We didn't vote the main motion into existence. Is that right, Mr. Tatum?
It is.
Yes.
So we have to vote the substitute motion up or down. Are there any objections to the substitute motion as amended to passing that motion? Hearing no objections, it passes. We're okay. Where are we? Horribly behind on the agenda. We had 4 more items on the agenda, and we were to move to closed session at time certain of 10 p.m.
We can do two cats.
Stephanie, you're not muted. And let me see if we can tackle some of these four items rather quickly, because these four remaining items are at least two or three of them are quick. Go ahead, Mr. Tatum. Were you trying to say something, Mr. Tatum?
No, would you repeat that? Oh, you were talking to me? No, I wouldn't say anything. Sorry.
Okay. So there were four more items remaining on the agenda. The next item was motion on setting new PMB meeting date and time. The one after that was directors declining election to committees. The one after that was identifying conveners for committees. And then the item after that was questions on the non-disclosure agreement and consent for electronic communications. Personally, I think we need to move into closed session, and I think we could tackle those two items, directors declining election to committees and identifying conveners for certain committees. I think we could tackle that fairly quickly and or via email, and I'd like to get those two things out of the way.
Are you here?
Amelia's not muted.
Yeah, this is Lawrence.
Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a motion that I submitted last week on a date and a time change for our PMB meetings, and I didn't hear you mention that item. Is there any reason why?
No, that was the first item that I listed, and I think that's...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think that's going to take more time to discuss. I think that's not it was on the agenda as a 15-minute item. The next two were 5-minute items, and I just wondered if we could at least tackle the 2 5-minute items and get them out of the way. And that would mean, of course, I'm sorry, Lawrence, that would mean postponing the motion on setting new PMB meeting date and time until the next meeting. And the next meeting would in principle be the regular monthly meeting on Thursday, April 7th, I believe is the date.
That's fine, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. So directors declining election to committees, principally that's Darlene, who declined the being elected to the, I believe I'm going to say this correct, that it's audit committee. And since we did an election and the KPFA seat, Darlene won, and she's declining that. And so then, the next person on the list was Donald Goldmacher. And so, there's a motion that says move that the teller's report dated February 27th, 2022 be modified to acknowledge Darlene Pagano's resignation from the KPFA seat on the audit committee, resulting in Donald Goldmacher being elected to that seat. Can I get a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you, Susan.
May I add an amendment to that motion?
Hang on. Who said that they wanted to make an amendment?
It's McFadden.
McFadden, go ahead.
I wanted to make an amendment that James McFadden will step aside for the programming committee where I was elected. I'm in too many committees right now. So I have to cut back to 3. And so... I'm much like Darlene. I'm going to step aside on that election, and Mark will then become came in second when he was.
Tell me exactly again. If
you're missing, Avelia, you're not muted, and we can hear your conversation.
I'm sorry.
So then that would add to this. So then. McFadden's amendment is to add to acknowledge James McFadden's resignation from the KPFA seat on the programming committee, resulting in Mark Vandeluit being elected to that seat. So tacking that on to the end. Are there any objections? to,
Point of order, Chair?
Yes, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just, this is a question. But I know that when we have elections for LSB members, for example, and someone either refuses to serve or has to resign for one reason or another, or dies or whatever else may happen, then the runner-up fills that spot. Is that the way things are handled with these elections to committees, or in the alternative, do we need to run another election when the person elected steps down? Do we need to run another election? I'm just not clear on how that is actually supposed to be handled in the bylaws.
Yes, this is a
point of order.
Yeah, hang on. All right, Donald, point of order. Go ahead.
James, the outcome would be the same. Why waste time?
I was just going to note that these are, I can't remember off the top of my head the different voting terminologies at this point.
Well, also we were the runner up. So these people are stepping down. The next person up steps up. Not a problem.
Sure.
Yeah. This is
and so hang on. The point I was going to make was, you select that particular voting method because it's to fill a single seat. And what it does is it leaves you with a ranking. And that's why the next person can move up on the list. STB voting. That's what we did. Sorry. Single transferable vote. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah. And if it's not a competitive election, then you don't need to hold an election, James. Just wanted to let you know.
It's just a question, so I don't have the information to challenge what's being said, but just a question.
I just wanted to say in each of those elections, there were only two people running from A. So when one, steps out, the other one is available to step in. There was not a stack. It was only two people.
Okay, hang on. I'm trying to get us through this as quickly as we can. Are there any objections to McFadden's amendment to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is amended. Are there any objections to the amended motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Okay. And then the next item that I wanted to spend at least 1 minute on, and then I think we can go into closed session, is identifying conveners for certain committees. There's no motion associated with this. The idea is that I need, out of the directors who have been elected to each of the committees, I need one director to volunteer to be the convener for that committee and get the next, get the committee meeting scheduled and, make sure that the LSB delegates who have been elected from the various, from the LSBs that they're invited to the meeting to, and, get the meeting scheduled so that the committees start to get to work. And so we don't need to take up more meeting time doing that, but what I would like to do is, ask people for ask volunteers willing to do that, to be the director, to convene a particular committee, to shoot me and Paulina an email and let us know. And then we'll just make sure, that we, get somebody for every one of the committees. And then, that person's responsible for getting the committee stood up. And then the only other thing that was on the agenda was questions on the non-disclosure agreement and consent for electronic communications. I got one question in email, which I want to give people the answer to, and that is on the non-disclosure agreement, there's on the last page where you sign, the first blank gets the date, the second blank gets your signature, and then what follows after that, it says something like Pacifica Foundation, and there's like name, title, and date, I think. And Arthur, you can confirm this for me, that the object there is that it's a mutual agreement that you know, it's entered into between Pacifica and the director who's signing it. And so that second set of lines is for, I believe it's the chair or the secretary to sign. Is that right, Arthur? You're muted.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So just in case anybody's confused about that, on that last page, date and signature in the first two blanks, that's all you need to worry about. Sign it, scan it, email it back to Polina at the PMB secretary at pacifica.org address.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes. Go ahead, Donald.
I'd like to know the legal basis for this requirement for a corporate director to sign an NDA on demand, given that we are already obligated as directors to uphold our fiduciary duty, which means to keep proprietary corporate information confidential. So this is redundant, and I don't understand the basis for it.
One of the reasons why we have a non-disclosure agreement is to remind people of their fiduciary duty, and also to, you know, spell out, you know, kind of the consequences of failing to comply. And, you know, those are all, you know, kind of specific to an organization. And Arthur, I think, could add more, but, you know, a non-disclosure agreement needs to, you know, have certain things in it. And you'll see it's three pages long. You know, what constitutes confidential information, you know, and what are the remedies when, you know, you've been asked by a court to provide something and, you know, your duty to notify, et cetera. So it spells out, you know, kind of a lot of the different, you know, situations that could possibly arise. I don't know, Arthur, if you want to add more to that.
Can I respond to what you just said? Since I'm raising this question.
I called on Arthur. Sorry.
Okay. Right. I'm not sure why it was a point of personal privilege, but it was aimed at you.
But you're asking me and everybody else to sign this.
In my two years plus of experience, working with this board, there have been innumerable instances where documents that should have been held confidential have been distributed outside of the board. I get involved in litigation and I find internal board communications documents, financial documents, in the possession of, non-members. They wind up on blogs, and it's not a way to run a ship. We can't have, so there needs to be the purpose of this agreement, which is simply in line with the obligations that Mr. Goldmacher has set forth, is to not only make it clear that each director understands what their obligation is, but also makes it clear that if that breach occurs, we don't have to litigate whether or not they knew about it, understood about it, or could, that we could do anything about it. This agreement gives us the right to go to court and say, give it all back, and pay us for having to pursue you. That's what it's about. And unless somebody has some concern that they want to share confidential information, then they shouldn't have any hesitation in signing this.
And I will also add that, we have delegates who are not directors who serve on some of our committees and see, you know, in closed session, you know, have discussions about highly confidential information, such as, financial information on the finance committee, the management letter for the audit committee. And again, those are the kinds of things that shouldn't be shared and have been in the past. And so this is also, you know, it's not that it's just for directors. This is also for the delegates who are serving in these committees as well. So, Lawrence, go ahead.
May I be recognized?
Yes.
So this is a good practice, right? This is the best practice. I belong to 185,000 member union local that on the e-board, on the executive board, and we are required, when we get sworn in, we are required to fill these type of two documents, sign these kind of two documents, the NDA and the other document for electronic communications. So, and then I belong to another board. So every board that I've been on has had that stipulation in order to serve. So I don't see why anyone would want to be defensive about it. You know, it's a best practice, and I brought it up when some documents were requested, and I don't think anything should leave the hands of the Pacifica Council or the IED, including Director's Inspection, without having that NDA and that electronic communications stipulation in it. So I completely urge my colleagues to sign these two documents because it's a best practice. It's the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jim Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. Also my understanding that this is a past practice of Pacifica and that there was no controversy over it. It's just something that has lapsed. We used to do it. We should do it. In particular on the finance committee, we have non-director treasurers serving on the committee who can see confidential information, including salary, something as simple as salary information. So I think we do need to do this. We have done it before. We should do it. Thank you.
Yes. And to be fair, you know, these things have been underway for some time. We may have brought them to close for recent reasons, but it's not like we haven't been talking about doing this for, you know, weeks, if not months. So, and as Jim Sagerton just pointed out, years even. So, Donald Goldmacher.
Yes, since Mr. Reyes has been on this board off and on since 2003, I'm wondering when in the past there were non-disclosure agreements that you signed. Because when I was on board in 2019, there was no non-disclosure agreements asked of board members. So I wonder what's the precedent.
May I answer, Mr. Goldmacher?
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. Goldmacher. Yeah, I was on the board in 2019, and we had what I would coin an insurrection in the network. So this is more of a safeguard. I know when I was on the personnel committee, we were required to sign a non-disclosure agreement. At my local station board, we are required to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Thanks to Bev Van Gutten for putting it together. So I think this is the best practice, and I think it behooves us to engage in best practices in order for us to safeguard against the kind of nefarious actions that were taken against the network before. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I also add something, Julie?
Yes, go ahead, Arthur.
So the most nefarious instance of this was in dealing with the in the John Verniel arbitration, right, which we're still litigating. I could not believe how many internal financial personnel, internal complaint documents were not only in his possession, but in the possession of other people who were not on the board. And maybe so if it wasn't signed in 2019, that's why just this astound hundreds of documents that should not have been circulated were in the possession of all kinds of people.
All right. So, with, with that, that brings the open session, what I think we can accomplish for this evening, to a close. Can I get a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Make sure you cut the stream,
Chair. Pauline is back, so we'll do that.
That was Donna. I moved. So moved.
I'll second.
Thank you. At 10:41, we will adjourn, and I would argue people should, let's take a 5-minute break, and so people should be back by 10:46 or whatever your time zone is. And Paulina, can you cut the stream, please?